This is the last Sunday in our messages of We Just Click, our series. And my sermon this morning is Check Your Clicker. Look at your neighbor and say, have you checked your clicker? They have no idea what their clicker is. I'll get to that in a minute. But it's your heart. Some people call it the ticker. But I'm going to call it the clicker, and I'm going to show you why. James chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. James 3, for the sake of time, I'll read it. You can read it when you get home. It says, for where envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. Whenever there's confusion and whenever there's evil work, there's always somewhere envy and strife. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you go to my introduction screen, here's what I'm going to tell you how to do today. When you check your clicker, you're going to connect. Your clicker is your heart. It's what connects who you are, what you love, and what you do with life. I've asked you guys this question before. What good is it to have all the answers and nobody will ask you a question? Because you make people feel stupid. You degrade people when they come ask you stuff. What good is it to be the best cook but nobody want to come over to your house? You all right? I want to show you how to connect who you are with life through your clicker. I started preaching when I was 18 years old. It happened. I went to college. In my first semester of college, I didn't know anybody on campus, and God really started messing with me. That was really my time to kick it. I'm like, nobody's here. Nobody knew who I was, and God started just dealing with me about preaching. So by the second semester of my freshman year, I accepted my call to ministry, and man, I love preaching. Not only did I love preaching, I fell in love with church. My parents would tell you probably that my freshman year, they said, Jason, what do you want for Christmas? I wanted a blue three-button suit, and I wanted the single conference that Bishop Jakes had just put out, No Juanita Bynum's No More Sheets, Noel Jones, I got to get myself together. And they would tell you, I would go to bed listening to those VCR tapes for nights. Well, most, like, I in the 90s, anybody like music in the 90s? Like music when music was real? Like, you know, I had my Jodeci there. It was good. Fainting, yeah, you know. I had my Jodeci there, but man, I had like 50 million preaching tapes, and I would just sit there and I would drive by churches and I would just imagine what it would be like. I fell in love with church and church leadership. One of the greatest things was happening is my mom has a twin sister, and her twin sister is married to Uncle Cody's United Methodist pastor. In his home, he had an office, and it was always next door to the church, and I would sit in his office for hours and just dream and look through all of his books. I'm pretty sure they were wondering, what in the world is this kid doing? And I would sit in his office at his church. And I did all those things because I loved it. In most cities, I know the thriving pastors. I know of those because I loved it. But over time, anybody ever find out that what you love starts to be tainted? I had to mature a little, and I realized I didn't know how to lead as well as I thought I knew how to lead. And there was more to ministry than preaching. There's people involved in ministry. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a person, and you are in ministry. I started to experience people. When I was in college, it's known fact, I'm not saying anything that's not known, just throwing gossip out there, but I watched the church split. I watched it split in half, and I watched them vote for one pastor, and one of them going with another one. I went with the pastor who left. Neither one of those churches are in existence today. Neither one of those. So I've seen the pretty and the ugly side of church. I've seen how people, some of us can be real spiritual, but I'm trying to figure out how we can be so spiritual and be have all these other things going on. And God started to show me that our gift is perfect. But all of us have flaws. Let your neighbor say, yes, you do too. And over time, things started to chip away at my heart. And even at work, I don't know how you guys' system was. Is it your job? They ranked us every year. So while I was smiling and I was happy with everybody I was working with, I knew my bonus and my raise was based on how I performed compared to you. So there was always this little friendly competition, you know, that grin, but at the same time, you always know somebody holding something back. Yeah. How you doing that last presentation? And it's like, man, I hope it go well, but I hope your PowerPoint go down. It's almost like that little slide thing. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I hope you get sick tonight. You know, that kind of stuff right there. And so I started experiencing competition, and those things eat away at your heart. And if you're not careful, they'll snuff out the very thing that you love to do. Anybody ever been there before? I had to learn to trust God. And I found that promotion doesn't come from the east or west, but promotion comes from God. Can I show you what promotion looks like? Victoria, can you hold your thing up? Can you give me that? You know what promotion looks like? We think promotion is just the elevation of title. You know what promotion looks like? While you're sitting here, this can go where I'm not. You can take this and hand this to somebody. And what God is doing, he's in places that you're not, and he's handing your name out. Folks don't even know who you are. Somehow your name is coming up. Yeah. I heard they plan events. Dude, I heard they like when the dopest singer's out. Dude, I heard that they are a great administrator. You have no idea who these people are. But while you're preparing, God's promoting you.
Yeah.
You pass that back to her. Look at your neighbor and say, while you're preparing, God's promoting you. All right, but here's the thing. You got to check your heart. Your heart is how you're going to filter life. And there are three things that are going to govern your clicker. Because if you don't govern these right, you will be in competition with the next man. Here's what I love about God. Man, Elder Holman preached this morning, and I feel like getting saved this morning. Like, this dude preached. He's a beast when it comes to preaching. I'm glad he's on my team. Because church is not an individual sport. Church is a team sport. And when we realize that, we'll build the kingdom together. But when we don't, our clicker will be governed by three things. The green-eyed monster, the red-eyed selfie, or wide-eyed wisdom. White, I'm country. W-H-I-T-E. White-eyed wisdom. You're like, what did he say? White-eyed wisdom. Let's go to the green-eyed monster first. Y'all probably don't know him. The green-eyed monster is governed by the crab mentality. Here's the thing about the crab mentality. There is no lid, but nobody gets out. Here's the thing about God. There is no limit to what you can do, but not everybody achieves it. Because you always got somebody trying to pull you down, and you crazy enough to let them. You all right? So they have the crab. Here's what happens. I was reading an example. I've seen crabs in a bucket, but they're talking about when they boil crabs, that crabs will sit there and be boiled to death because some of them have a freedom mentality and they would try to escape the pot while it's boiling. But when they get to the pot, there are some crabs that they talked about that are so mean, they will let them almost get to the top and pull them right back down. So as a result of the crab mentality, nobody gets out, but there is a way of escape. Can I tell you that in every hood, in every neighborhood, I don't care if you're white, black, male, or female, there is a way of escape. But the thing to escape is not just people. You got to escape the mentality that governs people. Because there's a mentality that says, no, you can't do more than me. And when you do something, you come home from school and say, I got my master's. Well, you think you're my master now? You think because you went to school, you better than everybody at school? Ain't. You ain't got to go to school, but if school is for you, that's the path. Go. If you don't want to go, don't go. But there is this mentality where we pit and pull people down. Y'all right in here? Not only is the crab mentality selfish, but it's a harmful mindset because nobody gets free. Here's the way to get out of the crab mentality. Let somebody get out. And when you get out, let somebody else. If I was a crab and I was in the bucket, I'd form a chain, and I'd form it all the way over the side of the bucket. And the last one down, don't leave. You stay right there and hold everybody in place and form a bridge and let everybody get out. Can I tell you how to get out of poverty, how to get out of whatever? You get out and form a bridge so somebody else can get out. And watch this. And those of us who need help getting out, ask for it. You don't know everything. The reality is if you knew how to get out, you'd be out by now. You ever seen somebody keep trying a thing that's wrong? You're like, it ain't going to change. Look at Nathan, how's that working for you? What causes us, what are the drivers to this green-eyed monster? The two drivers, envy and jealousy. Envy is crazy. Envy despises the fact that you have. Envy looks at you, man, how he going to start? How he going to get that promotion? Now, I know she ain't getting married. Envy says, how do you get what you get? Jealousy says, I want what you have. Envy judges you because you have what you have.
Yes.
What if they're both driven by comparison? People don't think you deserve what you have. Can I tell you some truth? Don't none of us deserve what we have. Truth be told, I probably don't deserve to be sitting up here preaching right now because my life has not been perfect. We all in here cute, we dressed up, and I got all this stuff going on. But how many know if it wasn't for the grace of God that your life ain't been as cute as you look today? Y'all talk back to me. Your life ain't as pretty as your hair is right now.
Yeah.
But God, through his grace, he has covered you because love covers a multitude of sin. So it's driven by comparison. It's driven by impure motives. It's hard for God to bless something that's not coming from a pure place. I am for prosperity. I'm for prosperity all day long. There's a guy who asked me, he said, are you a prosperity preacher? I was like, yeah. What's the opposite? A poverty preacher? Yeah, I think God wants you to have as much as he wants you to have. He just don't want that stuff to have you. You all right? I think God is for you, because, man, that things are changed. When I was telling Barbara, I said, man, I think parents ought to work and expose their kids to great stuff. My parents worked, and they took us places. We went. We drove in two-door Buick. Was it a two-door big Buick Electric to Florida? Me, my brother, and my cousin Quincy on the back seat, hot, fussing. He's looking at me. He won't stop breathing on me. Any parents know what I'm talking about? They're like, why are you caring? He's looking at you. Like, but they exposed us to Florida. But watch this. If my Aunt Sharon probably wouldn't have married my Uncle Cody, I would have never been able to dream in his office. If I'd have never seen my dad sitting in our backyard when he was facing layoff at UPS and he was going over his presentation meditating to God, I wouldn't have known how to get away and face pressure. I'd have probably went and drunk myself to death. But I watched the man handle pressure. And that's what the model that somebody needs to see. So am I for prosperity? Absolutely. I got stuck there. Another thing is this, self-seeking. When you're self-seeking, you'll throw others under the bus just to get ahead. You'll make shady deals. You'll do underhanded things. You'll do stuff. You won't halfway finish stuff and give it to somebody because they don't know no better. You'll do all these kind of things, but over time, it catches up with you. Can I tell you something I've learned the hard way? Making shortcuts, it may get you through for the minute, but it'll catch up with you in the long run. My work has shown that off. Rushing and doing things, it will catch up with you. Do it right. Let your neighbor say, do it right the first time. What is the result of a green-eyed monster? When you envy, there's always confusion. Whenever things are not clear, there's drama, you got to check your heart. Because we understand what we want to understand. If I told you this, we're going to have a dinner, or if you go to the Glass Barn, all of us are going to be there. You'd be like, all right. And I'll ask you, are you going to the Glass Barn? I have no idea where the Glass Barn is at. Wait, I never heard of no Glass Barn. But if I said, hey, we're going to give the first 10 people to the Glass Barn $1,000, you will be on your phone right now. R-A-T, right now. I don't even ever heard of it. You will find it because your motivation is different. You understand what you want to understand. Look at your neighbor and say, you understand what you want to understand. The result is confusion and every evil work. Murder is a result of envy. Murder is a result of envy. Slander, factions, and dissension. Let's go to my next slide here. Green-eyed monster, then there's the red-eyed selfie. I promise you, I may act it sometime, but I'm not evil. That eye is not a reflection of my character. I try my best, but it's not. But you notice, even notice somebody when they take a picture and the eyes come out red. Do you know why they come out red? I found this out. I didn't know. I thought it was my eyes because they were always red. But what happens is the retina, the pupil, something in your eye is not able to process the light. And when it can't process or react in time to the light with the flash that goes through, a red thing comes out. What happens is when you get light, in our case, okay, in the case of a camera, it's the light from the flash. But light in our case is understanding. And whenever something comes at you and you don't process it correctly, it comes out the wrong way. You all right? And if we don't allow the light of God to cleanse our hearts, here's what we'll do. We'll react too soon. Right. We'll react before time. We won't process things correctly. We'll make assumptions. We'll overthink. Yeah. We'll overanalyze. And we won't let God fight our battles. Anybody ever been there before? Yes. I fought a few of my own. They didn't work out well. I won, but I lost in the end. You know, you ever cuss somebody out and they feel good in the moment, but then people think you're crazy? I'm like, man, don't fool with them. And I think crazy needs to be in a straitjacket. You all right? Crazy's in Chattanooga. You know when you get in Chattanooga, there's a little fence there, and there's a building behind it called Moxie. I think crazy. Now, I'm not saying it in a negative sense because there are people who have to go check in there, but watch this. Crazy is not anything that I want to be. And if I ever get in that place, I want God. I have to be sensitive to that to deliver my mind. We lose sight of the future because you're just living for now when you don't process it correctly. And when you don't process things correctly, we'll form factions and schisms instead of teams. Yes. The last one is this. White-eyed wisdom. So you got the green-eyed monster, which is envy. You got to deal with that in your heart. The red-eyed selfie, which is when you don't process things correctly. And then there is white-eyed wisdom. It says where there's envy and strife. Envy the green-eyed monster. Strife the red-eyed selfie. He said there's confusion in every evil work. James 3:16. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from God is first pure. God said, I want you to have purity in your life. Life and experiences taint us, and our faith is what really is impacted. I told Barbara when she first moved down here from Texas, I said, you'll do well. I said, the thing that I struggle with from being here is that I know limitations and that I govern myself by them when I don't have to. I said, you don't know this area, so you could care less. You see a job and you go get it. And every job just about she's applied for, she's got it. I mean, anybody ever applied for a job and you heard somebody say something like, they don't hire people like us? I know there's white and black people in here. I know. Yeah. You say things like, man, they'll never hire somebody with my background. How do you know until you apply? Look at your neighbor and say, how do you know? Man, I thought I'd get an amen or somebody wave a fan at me or something right there. We call it being realistic, but God wants us to have childlike faith. But if God says it, we believe it. Our ability to connect and trust never needs to be destroyed. And what Satan is after through every situation that you face does not have anything to do with the now. He wants to impact your ability to trust. We have this thing, and y'all ever seen the thing where they take sin and they take you and they take God and they do the whole example? I'm going to do that here, but I'm going to do it in a couple of formats to close out my sermon here. I got to be careful here because I don't want to spill my example. And I got one, the last one. I'm going to go for a home run here, but I may strike out. I hope I don't strike out. The first thing is this. You are created and God saves you and he purifies you. That's you. Everybody see this? That's you. You're clear. There is this thing, y'all probably never heard of it, but it's called sin. Anybody heard of it? Somebody said, I knew him last night. Look, your neighbor said, me too. Matthew 5 and 8 says this. It says, blessed are the pure in the heart, for they shall see God. What God does when he saves you is he purifies your heart. You ever wonder why some people just see good in every situation? Because they got a pure heart. And when God comes in, it's like they don't see color. I mean, they know people are different colors. They don't care what gender a person is. They just love people because the love of God is in their heart. What God does is he purifies you. But over time, sin happens. And it starts to contaminate who you are. Anybody ever been there? Well, you didn't just make one mistake, but one mistake normally leads to another mistake. And over time, anybody ever just had this yucky feeling inside of you? It's just like, ah, why do I keep doing this? Anybody ever find themselves like Paul, the very thing I hate, I found myself doing? Yeah. And sin has a way of contaminating you, and you end up looking at yourself based off the things that are going on inside of you, but you are not your issue. You are not your struggle. Remember I told you God is good? And no matter how bad you are, it never stops God from being good. I don't care what low-down, dirty stuff you've done. It never stops what God has done. And when you accept God into your life, I don't care how dirty you are, God has a way of purifying you. And it don't work just once. It works every time you work it. Well, he forgave me once of the same thing. Now, God, I know I'm back at the altar. Did you notice that? When God gets in you, I tried my best to taint it. But sin no longer has dominion over you. So what I used to fall for, I may fall, but it don't define who I am. I get right back up, and Satan will try the best that he can, but he can't get me. All right, here's what we need to do. I need to make a quick change. Jari, can you go pour this out and put me some more water in there? And I'm going to play this off while he's doing it. I forgot about that. I didn't think that went all the way through. You don't either, but anyway. The next thing is not just sin. Some stuff is not sin. Some stuff is experience. Experience has a way of tainting us too. For in Titus, it says, to the pure, all things are pure. There are things that come to destroy your purity. You ever heard somebody say, I've been hurt by church? Anybody at church heard it here? Anybody say, I've been hurt by a job or corporate America did me wrong? You ever heard somebody say, I've been done wrong in relationship? Can I tell you the truth? And I'm not minimizing what we go through because I've been through it myself. You've never been hurt by church. You've been hurt by people who are a part of church. And we penalize the institution for what a person does. You've never been hurt by relationship. You've been hurt by a person in relationship. So you punish all future relationship for what one person did in the relationship. You've never been hurt by corporate America. You've been hurt by a company who hired a person in a position who perhaps looked over you, but there's nothing wrong with corporate America because money has to flow. And if you start a business and your business grows and you get to be a Fortune 500 company, you're going to be corporate America. You ever thought about that? So it's not necessarily corporate America. It's not necessarily relationship, not necessarily church. It's experiences over time that contaminate us. And over time, they start to get the best of us. My residue's still in there. But experience starts to contaminate us. But no matter how contaminated you are, God is still good. And even if there's any lingering residue, what God wants to do is purify your heart. Here's where I'm going to go for the home run. Everything God created is pure. Everything God created is pure. Marriage is pure. Your career is pure. Your call from God is pure. And you can't destroy the purity that God created. You want to do this yourself? It's called iodine. $6. You can do it just yourself. I'm going to try to hit a home run with this. No matter how dirty things are, you can't destroy the purity of what God created. So you may feel impure. But you know that song, I Need a Little More Jesus? Get a little more Jesus on the inside of you, because you can't unpurify what God, I don't know if that's a word, has done. Anybody got some great cooks in here? Who just at home and talking about confidence this morning? Who thinks you're a great cook? Don't lift your hands. Lift those hands. Yeah, I see you right around. I'm on pat. Send me a note what you cook well. I want to try it. Hey, I'm going to put it on Front Street. There's a lady sitting over here, Miss Shirley. She put her head down. You know when you put your head down, you don't disappear, right? Like we, y'all can pay her for it, but man, she has a strawberry cake that she makes. Whew. It is phenomenal. If Miss Shirley gave me the recipe to that strawberry cake, and it tastes like mixed berry cake and cardboard by the time I get finished. Watch this. That is not a reflection of the recipe. It's a reflection of me, the cook. I don't care how bad you've done in life. It doesn't contaminate what God wants you to be. You get a hold of who he wants you to be. And you learn to perfect that. And the more you do it, the better you become. And what God wants to do, whether it be in marriage, whether it be in your career, whether it be in church, is to purify your clicker. So the things click and the real intent of your heart comes out. And when you understand, nothing can contaminate me. No weapon formed against you shall ever be able to prosper. As long as you're in God and God's in you, you got a winning combination. I want you to bow your head for a moment. The praise team's getting ready to come before we do our commitment ceremony. And they're going to sing a song that really reflects how I think God feels about us. That what we have is worth fighting for. We're going to make this commitment. But before we do this and they're coming, I want you to ask God to search your heart. Man, there's a guy in the church I grew up. His name was Elder Alfred Johnson. And he used to pray a prayer that I still pray today. He said, Lord, shine the searchlight from heaven on my soul. And if you find anything in me that shouldn't be, God, take it out and strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. I want you to ask God to purify your heart, your motives, and your intentions in Jesus' name. Hey, while you're sitting there, let's worship with the praise team as they come and minister this song.